Amen. Give him a hand clap of praise tonight.
Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. I belong to him.
Amen.
And there's no taking that back. It's the best place to be is in his hands, isn't it? Hallelujah. We sure did appreciate the word of the Lord on Sunday night. And there's so many nuggets in there that was sure brought together very masterfully, I think. And when you are able to take the word that has been revealed to you and have experiences throughout your life, and as Brother Eli pointed to several times, he's on the upper end of experience. Well, with that comes wisdom, right? And it doesn't come any other way. And so we're just so thankful for the wisdom also that was imparted to our young people on Sunday night. And thank the Lord for his goodness, for his mercy. And I'm going to continue on with just one particular thought that Brother Eli brought out on Sunday night. I'm not polishing on it. I'm not straightening anything out. It was done very well. I'm just inspired. And it's so important that I just want to bear down on this a little further. So we'll read from Colossians, the first chapter, starting at verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And that word meet in this case, to make sufficient, render fit, to equip one with adequate power to perform duties of one. So he's equipped us with adequate power to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us, past tense, from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. Nobody's ever seen God. Nobody ever will see God. So Christ is the first manifestation of God in a tangible form, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him. Now, if all things were created by him, and if all things were created for him, sounds like he's in charge.
Amen.
Sounds like he's in control.
Amen.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable, notice this, in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation which is given me given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or complete, or as you should be, mature in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his workings, which worketh in me mightily. I'd like to read just another couple of scriptures from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us. So he's saying, not only are you the epistle of Christ, the word of Christ that was ministered by us, but you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, as Brother Eli was going into on Sunday night. You are the manifestation of it, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And the church says, amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we approach your word once again tonight, Lord, it's just so wonderful, it's so marvelous, and Lord, there's no way that we can even fathom, let alone come close to wringing out and drawing out all the riches that are just laying in your word for us to feast upon in due season. So Lord, we just ask tonight that you would feed us the portion, Lord, that you put on our hearts to meditate on and to study and to minister on here tonight, Lord. And may it become living word. May your spirit quicken it, Lord. And may it become real. May it become something tangible. May it be manifestly declared in our lives is our prayer. We thank you so much, Lord, for all that we've heard up to this point and all that you've done up to this point. But we know that you're doing that plus. You just continue to add and to add and to add. And so we're here tonight, Lord, for the portion that you've allotted for us for this evening, and we just ask that you would quicken it to us, bless each and every one, those that are listening in, those that are present, Lord, those that will listen in, and we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. So I want to title the thought here tonight, Christ in You, and I think I'll just change the title of the thought to The Christ Living in You. The Christ Living in You. So you demonstrate that you are a part of this word by the very life that's lived out through you. And that's what our desire is for the very life of Christ to be living in us. And as it was brought out so masterfully on Sunday night, the law is our tutor, it's our taskmaster, it's tutoring us, and until we come to the place where we're born again of the Spirit of God. You accept Christ as your Savior. You're baptized in Christian baptism, and you are saved. Your confession is that He is your Savior. But the next step is for Him to become your Lord. And so His Spirit is leading you and guiding you, and His Spirit is speaking through other people as the Word is coming forth and as you're hearing the Word. But He desires to come and not have you memorize a bunch of laws, but He desires to come and write His own laws in your heart. He desires to be the living Word living in you and to lead you and guide you each step of the way in your walk with him. But the only way that that's going to take place is if you want it on some order of how bad he wants to fill you. And of course, we know that he wants to, as Brother Eli mentioned on Sunday night, he wants to fill us a whole lot more than we want to be filled. But it has to get to the place where it's you know, if I were to say tonight, you want some ice cream? And you say, sure. And I say, well, do you want vanilla or chocolate? And you say, I want chocolate. It has to be more of a choice than saying, I want chocolate, right? Or I want vanilla. It has to be something that is, it has to be a painful desire. Well, you can't make yourself desperate, but you can get yourself into a condition to where desperation is going to come as you're surrendering to God, as you're stopping, as Brother Eli brought out on Sunday night, as you're stopping, you know, you put all your ambitions on hold, you put all your desires on hold, you put your future on hold, and you realize, God, I need your life. In order for me to, I can't live this word. I can hear all the rules and the law, and I can keep it to the best of my ability, but I can't make this word live. Only you can do that, and I need that life. So it has to be, it has to get to the place, you know, we can get to the place in our lives, say you want to join the military, and you're not allowed to go in the military, and so you don't want to live any longer because you want to go in the military that bad. Well, you have to want the Spirit of God that bad. You have to be that desperate in your life to where I don't want to go on. If I can't have this girl, I don't want to go on. If I can't have his life, I don't want to go on, right? So it's not the nominal Christian ranks of the world have done such a disservice because they've watered it down to something that, well, it'll just come, it'll just happen, you know. You just go on your merry way, just continue on like you've been doing all along. We know that Peter, the Lord told Peter that he would deny him three times before the cock would crow, right? And Peter, the last thing, I mean, he truly, truly believed that that wasn't even possible because he was so zealous and he had been with the Lord and he'd given up everything to follow him. But under pressure and without the Holy Spirit, because none of them had the Holy Spirit yet, Christ hadn't died on the cross, under pressure, what was in him came out. And he got to the place where he was disgusted with himself. He got to the place where he realized the words came back to him. This is what you're going to do three times before morning, before the cock crows. You're going to do this three times. And he didn't think he'd do it once, but he did it three times. And he bottomed out and he got desperate. He realized, you know what? I'm trying to live this the best that I can, but look at what a mess I made. And he also, at the same time, he held on to his faith that Christ was his Savior, that Christ had just died on the cross and paid the price. So there was forgiveness for him, but he got desperate. He said, I got to have that life. I don't want to go any further. Judas, on the other hand, he made his mistake, and he did it thinking that Jesus told him, that Jesus agreed. Jesus looked at him and said, you know that scheme that you got in your mind? Go do it quickly at the Last Supper. And so he went off to do it, thinking, okay, you know, they've come to grab a hold of Jesus I don't know how many times, and every time they did, he escaped, right? And they're offering money, and so why not take the money? You know, it's their dumb luck. They're going to give us this money, and we'll be that much ahead, and Jesus will disappear. And then Jesus kind of confirms in Judas's thinking that he agrees with his scheme. He agrees with his plan. He said, Judas, what you've got in your mind to do, go quickly and do it. So he went to do it, right? But it didn't work out like he thought that it was going to work out. And the scripture says, when he realized what he had done. So it shows that he had, in his own mind, it was a good thought. But it was a wrong thought. There are ways that seem right. Right? Now, friends, he could have repented. He could have cried out. He could have done the very same thing that Peter did and said, oh, wretched man that I am. I can't believe that I did this. God, forgive me. But instead, he felt sorry for himself and went and hung himself. right? So what's the difference? The difference is that desperation, faith in God, and that desperation. Unless I find you, I'll perish. But I'm not going to take my life. But you'll find a bag of bones here. Because I'm not going any further unless I have that life. So young people, that's the kind of a desire. When you give your heart to the Lord, He becomes your Savior. You're confessing Him as your Savior. But now the next step is, do I want Him to be Lord? Do I want Him to rule my life? Do I want Him to tell me what to do next? Do I want His will for my life? Or do I still want my carnal will? You know, I want to be this, or I want to be that, or I want to be this. And if I can't be this or that, I don't want to live. Well, you haven't died out to yourself yet. Now, friends, the thing is, the devil will come along and tell you, well, you know, if you do that, he's going to take away anything good for your life, anything fun for your, you'll probably never get to do this, probably never get to do that. God doesn't want, friends, you don't even realize what it is that you desire. You don't even realize what it is that God has in store for you. You don't even realize that giving your life to Him, you will have a much better life than anything that you ever imagined. And half the time, He's not taking away most of the time, He's not going to take away all the good things that you're worried that He's going to take away from you. You just got to be willing to let go. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Shall we close? Okay, I'll go a little bit further. So, the word of God that Paul preached, that Paul spoke, that's written, it's the same written word, but when His Spirit comes into your life, when you're born again of His Spirit, now it becomes manifested in human flesh. You actually become the interpretation of God's word. Brother Branham said, the word manifested is light. Right? You become a light. You become what God meant by what He said. Right? Without His Spirit, we can wonder and probe, and that's why we have so many different denominations, because everybody presumes to know the mind of God, to know what He thought by, what He meant by what He said. But when He manifested in your life by His Spirit, that's what He meant. So the gospel that was preached by Paul, it is producing the Word made flesh in this hour. Let's just settle that. Don't entertain a thought for a moment. Well, I'm looking around and I don't think it's being fulfilled. It is. It has to be. His nature, Christ's very nature, now burns on the inside of those that are born again of the Spirit and receive His Word. And they are the very Word of God being fulfilled in this hour. And it takes place without you thinking about it. It takes place without you trying to make it happen. It takes place because this is His plan. And it's His Word. And it's His Spirit bringing it to pass. Oh, friends, it's the most exciting. Well, young people, don't ever let the devil lie to you. He's good at it. That's what he'll do. He'll try to convince you that, you know, you'll be a Bible thumper. You'll be, you know, boring, you'll never fit in anywhere. It's the best life there is to have Christ within you. There's no peace outside of it. There's no rest outside of it. You found rest from wrestling against sin, but the rest for your soul comes only by being yoked to Him. So His nature, Christ's very nature, is now living and breathing and burning on the inside of you. And you are the interpretation of the Word. You are what He meant by what He said. In other words, you can say, this is that. Right? Prior to this, this is what I believe He meant by this. But when it's manifested in your life, this is that. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The message, perseverant. To be persistent, you've got your mind made up now what you're going to do. Now, you cannot have faith in God without knowing the Word of God or knowing something about God. Now, somebody told you, well, if you go touch that post, you'll get well. You're sick. Now, I wouldn't believe that. You might do it, but That's just a little too strong for my faith, he says. I don't believe that there's any virtue in that post, no more than I believe there's virtue in a statue, or in a monument, or in a crucifix, or something like that. I believe the virtue is in Christ, and Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, the Word itself comes back in the form of the Holy Spirit into us, and it's Word in you, God in you. So many wants to point God to some mystical something way away or so far away that they overreach it. God is in you. The hope of glory, Christ, the mind that was in Christ, is in you. You're reaching plumb away from it, trying to get what's been given to you, God in the human being. Christ, when he was here on the earth, was the body of God. God created this body. It was a different body, yet it was a human body. It was different because it was virgin born, right? It was a different body, yet it was a human body. You know, Solomon built him a house, but Stephen said, "Howbeit the Most High don't dwell in houses made with hands, but a body hast thou prepared me." He says, now God prepared himself a body in the form of the Lord Jesus, which was the Christ, meaning the anointed one. And now all that God was in Christ. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Remember, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what Paul told us. That's what the scripture says. Now, in all that God was, he poured into Christ. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And all that was in Christ, hold on to your seat now, all that was in Christ, he poured into the church. What is it? Anointed one to continue his work, that his word might live constantly. So how's his word going to live without Christ? It can't. So Christ has to be in the church. He lived by the word of the Father. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. It's living word. And the church don't live by bread alone, but by the word of Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes in and takes the word of Christ and makes it a living action today. I like that part, today. These signs shall follow them that believe. I was dreaming about that last night. I had a dream, and I don't remember all the details, but there was some kind of a debate going on, and somebody was saying, well, you know, you're making too big of a deal out of the signs, and trying to point to the signs, and I stopped him, and I said, wait a minute, hold on, I'm not... Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. So I'm not chasing after signs. I don't have to, right? If I'm a believer, signs will follow after me. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. All that was in Christ, he poured into the church. What is it? Anointed one to continue his work, that his word might live constantly. He lived by the word of the Father. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And the church don't live by bread alone, but by the word of Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes in and takes the word of Christ and makes it a living action today. These signs shall follow them that believe. So we will never, of course, be individually the fullness of God. There's none of us that can say, well, the fullness of the Godhead is in me bodily. There's only one that the fullness was manifested in, and that's our Lord Jesus. But we each have a portion of that pillar of fire burning within us, if we're born again of the Spirit, and our bodies actually no longer belong to us. Amen? We've surrendered them to God to be used of God. And we have the confidence that whatever, if we've totally given our lives to him and we're totally trusting him, we have the confidence that we're safe, we're secure, it's a good walk, he'll be with us, right? It'll be the kind of walk that you actually want to have. So we've surrendered ourselves, given ourselves over to God, and he's working through a bride body here on the earth that is made up of many members. You take all those members together, it makes up one body, and you take all the Christ, all the licks of fire, And added all together, it is all of Christ. He's having preeminence in a body. This individual, that individual, this one, that one. He doesn't have to be fully in any one of us. He's in a mystical body. And that's what's driving the devil crazy. Because every time the devil thinks he's got the Christ and, you know, he's playing whack-a-mole and he comes over and tries to hit that thing, well, then it pops up somewhere else, right? This individual, that individual, right? Making up the body of Christ. So in his corporal body, everywhere he went, he cast out devils. Is that right? And we that minister, as we minister the word, we're casting out devils every time we preach the word. It's casting out doubt. It's casting out thoughts that have exalted themselves above the word of God. It's casting out spirits that oppress us, that bind us. When the anointed word goes forth, we are being purged of anything that's not the word. And it's the word that's doing it, right? Because only the word is going up in the rapture, right? That portion of you that came from God is a portion. It's his thought that becomes word, that becomes manifested. And so by the new birth, Christ now reigns in our soul and in our bodies as the word brings his flesh into subjection to the word of God. So he lives in our soul by the new birth. That's a given, right? And he reigns in our bodies as we surrender our headship to him. Because we still have a choice. And because of the new birth, we can say now, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's not you bragging on yourself. It's you recognizing what's resonant within you. Now we are the sons of God. We are not going to be the sons and daughters of God. Now we are. And the church says. So we live in an age, friends, where it's very apparent to each and every one of us that knowledge has increased, just as the word of God said that it would. The word of God said there'll come a time when knowledge has increased and people go to and fro. And so the tree of knowledge has, remember there were two trees in the garden. There's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then there's Christ. Two trees. The tree of knowledge has grown and has matured and has spread its branches over the whole world. But the tree of life has spread its branches over the earth as well. So we can take a young person that's ignorant to the workings of the human body as an example, who's unsure of their own abilities, who maybe is clumsy or awkward and who bears no similarities at all to a doctor or a surgeon. I want you to get this now. Listen close. So you've got somebody that doesn't know anything about doctrine or surgeon, and doesn't look like one, doesn't act like one, right? And we can give them books on anatomy, and we can lecture to them the medical terms and the techniques and so on and so forth. We can mentor them, and we can give them opportunities to practice medicine under supervised conditions. Kind of makes me nervous when they say practice, but it doesn't matter what, you know, if you're a mechanic, you practice being a mechanic before you become a master mechanic, right? But at some point, that person is declared to be a doctor. That person is declared to be a surgeon. That person is declared to be a specialist, whatever it might be. If we could then put that person beside the earlier version of their self, we would see that a remarkable transformation took place within that person. If we were to look at them outwardly, other than they've aged 6 years or whatever it is, however long it takes to get to that level, if we looked at them outwardly, they wouldn't look much different, right? It's still the same person. They didn't grow any extra members, and right? They're the same person. The change took place on the inside, right? The word that they received transformed them into what they studied and what they meditated on to become. Now, this is just in the natural. And we see that, right? And what we were doing was filling their mind with knowledge that would then transform them with experience into a doctor. That word, that knowledge, coupled with time, coupled with raw ability, with actual experience, transforms them into a doctor. Come on. We right? Now, what we are doing in a spiritual child of God is the very same process, only we're working on their soul instead of on their mental and physical faculties alone. To transform that person into a son of God, a daughter of God, they must first be born of the Spirit of God to wake up that attribute that is inside of them. It's in your soul. And it's that attribute in you that cries out to God. It's that attribute that's in you that God responds to, that God comes seeking, that God quickens. And that is where your potentials as a son or daughter of God reside. It's in your soul. The mind can't comprehend the new birth. And the mind is merely an observer that actually needs to get out of the way. It's along for the ride. So don't look for your mind to confirm the new birth. It's your soul that confirms it. And its role, your mind's role in the new birth, is to not interfere with the new birth. And yet that's where the problem most of the time is at. The mind trying to do something. The mind trying to figure it out. It has nothing to do with the mind. It has to do with the soul. You got to get the mind out of the way. You got to get the mind to quit hindering and doubting and getting in the way. But it's in the soul that it takes place. So that word begins to transform the son or daughter of God as he feeds on it and puts it into practice in his life. I say son, but you know I mean son or daughter, it doesn't matter. He's already a son by the new birth, but now he must grow into a fully mature son. And eventually, he is a mature son of God, and he knows it. And so does everybody else at some point. And he's confident in who he is. He acts like a son of God. He walks like a son of God. He talks like a son of God. He is Christ-like. And the works of Christ are carried out in his life. You see, there is a life in the Word to make you what you are to be. And nothing's going to stop that. And the church says, he said, I will build. I'm putting it together. I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I'll build it on revelation. Revealing myself to each and every one as I place them in the body. So let me ask you a question here tonight. Why is it that we can send our young adults off to college with little more than some college prep and instruction on how to live, and maybe you got to teach them how to do their own laundry for the first time, a few other things like that, but not a lot of big stuff, right? And at some point, and after a lot of expense, we fully expect that they will return to us as a different person. They'll return to us as a lawyer, or as a doctor, or as an engineer, or as a mechanic, or as a teacher, or an artist, or a pilot, whatever it might be, right? And yet we find it so hard to believe that the word that you and I feed on day after day, week after week, service after service, is transforming us into mature sons and daughters of God. Even more so than a natural study, but we see how it works in the natural. So we can't understand with our minds how it could be that eating the Word of God can do anything to us. So we sometimes don't put the importance on it that we should. But it is. Something's taking place. We don't reason with the Word in our soul like we reason with science and math in our minds. And so we can't sense really what's going on in our soul at any particular moment in time. But something's taking place. And we can't sense it because there's no sense in your soul to sense it with. The only sense you have in your soul is, I believe, or I doubt. And if you're born again of the Spirit of God, the sense in your soul is, I believe. And yet our faith is growing as we hear that word that comes from the tree of life. And it's growing without our help. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Just as our mental confidence grows as we reason with the knowledge that we receive from the tree of knowledge, So does our confidence grow as the word is maturing us and causing us to grow as we're feeding on it, as we're hearing that word. And friends, that's what we ought to pray for. God, send me the word that I need and let it be living word. Rather than me picking apart whoever's preaching or finding their faults, God, make sure it's living word that's coming forth. And I'm going to be ready to receive it because that's what I'm here for. I'm not here to admire. I'm not here to criticize. I'm here to receive that word. Let it be living word. Let it be spirit. God, I'm praying for whoever's bringing that word. I'm praying with all my heart. Let it be anointed, Lord. Because when it comes in and I receive it in my heart, it's going to do something. It's going to change me from glory to glory to glory. Because there's power in that word, and it's that life that's in that word that's going to change me. It's not me figuring out, okay, what's the next step? It's the word working in me. Can you imagine attending school for 3 classes a week for your entire life and never learning anything new from week to week? Well, that's what you're doing when you come to church. 3 times a week. 3 times a week. Right? You're feeding on it. Oh, nothing's happening. The devil says, well, just give me some proof. Give me some evidence. Show me what's changed. It's not up to me to change me. I've surrendered. I'm in his hands. I'm a work in progress. The work, the word is doing the work. Somebody say, praise the Lord. In fact, the word is working mightily in me. Friends, if it can do that in the natural to a student that's attending a university, how much more? God was his idea was the first idea, right? Everything else is just copying. We serve a living God tonight who is ever present and who has given to us a living faith that produces living actions. And it's Him doing it. In the church age book, Brother Branham reads from Hebrews chapter 10 that the just shall live by faith. And then he explains that it's not having faith in the Son of God, but it's living by the faith of the Son of God. Now, at first glance, you say, well, what's the difference? Well, there is a difference. Many claim to have faith in the Son of God because they believe that He was the Son of God that lived on the earth 2,000 years ago, right? But even the devil believes that, right? So it can't be, well, I believe in the Son of God. It can't, that could not be the meaning of it. So listen to what he says in the Pergamene church age. He says, in this Pergamene age, where men were humanizing salvation, having turned from the truth that salvation is of the Lord, having cast aside the doctrine of election, it's God that does the choosing, and opened wide the church door and their fellowship to any and to all who subscribe to their tenets, never mind the word. In this age of rapid degradation, there were still the few who had the measure of that faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, and not only used that faith in acts of power, but withstood those who dared to say that they were saved simply on the grounds of joining the church. They knew that no man could truly believe unto eternal life and the righteousness of God apart from the measure of the faith of the Lord Jesus himself. As today's church is filled with mental believers who endorse the virgin birth, the shed blood, going to church, taking communion, and are not reborn at all, even so, in the third church age was the same problem, right? So the birth wasn't even part of it, right? It's go to church, take communion, pay your tithes, do this, do that. But there was no new birth. He said human faith wasn't enough then, and it's not enough now. So you say with human faith, I believe that Jesus was the Messiah. I believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I believe that He lived 2,000 years ago. You're saying that by faith, but that's not enough. It takes the very faith of the Son of God to drop into a man's heart. Notice, this is Him. To drop into a man's heart so that he can receive the Lord of glory into the temple not made with hands. So it's actually not you believing It's Him believing in you. Oh, hallelujah. He says, this was a living faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Paul did not say that he lived by faith in the Son of God. Paul did not say that he lived by faith. It was the faith of the Son of God that had given him life and kept him living in Christian victory. So we live by the faith of the Son of God, but not by our faith in the Son of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So it's not a human faith that we possess on our own. This is the very indwelling faith of God Himself within us, believing His own word. God, imagine that. If God ever doubted His word, we'd cease to exist. God believes, God spoke His word, God believes His word. The scripture says to each is given the measure of faith, right? That faith comes from God. And when He reveals that faith to us, we know. We're not hoping. We know. All of a sudden, it's just so clear. All of a sudden, it just drops in. That's true. I know that's right. And there's a stimulation that takes place, as the word declares. It's like the effect that wine has when you partake of wine. There's a stimulation that comes with that revelation. And when that takes place in your life, you have no problem with believing. Because we know that God can't deny Himself. And if He's in you, you won't deny Him either. The Holy Spirit in us is alive and is powerful. And it is a living word. Now, I struggle a little bit because I'm trying to make this, you want to make this as simple as you possibly can. It's something that's so magnificent and so supernatural. It is simple, though. Because when He reveals His word to you, there's no carpets that roll out of heaven and trumpets that blow and angels appearing all around you. It just drops in. You didn't know it, and now you do. You weren't sure, and now you're convinced. It's so simple, yet it's so powerful. That's the God we serve tonight, friends. In the invasion of the United States, He says, I wish now to call our attention to the Word. And I just love the Word, the living Word of God. Inside the Word is the life. Now the Word, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So if we partake of the Word without the Spirit, it brings death. Right? But the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And the life is in the Word because it's the Word of God. Life lays in its word. Like if I told you, you say, I'm hungry this morning, Brother Branham. Would you give me $5? And I'd say, I will. Now, there's just as much life in that as there is in my promise. That's the same way it is by God. When God promises anything, he's got to be in His word. See, the word is worth, this word is just the same as God. It is God. Oh, if we could just approach it that way, friends. Your word is what you are. Your bond, we used to call it that. Your bond is your word. If we can't take your word, we can't have confidence. But if I can take your word for anything, then it's a man of honor. And the Bible said in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. See? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word is a person. The Word is living. The Word is alive. Amen. So whatever the Word did in the man, Jesus Christ, that same Word will do the same thing in you. Because the Word is not a respecter of persons. The Word will do what it was sent to do. If it's received in the right kind of ground. Just as natural knowledge is not a respecter of persons, so is it with the Word. The hope of glory is for Christ to be in us. The living Christ, the living Word, living through us, making His Word known to us and through us. And as Jesus was the very expression of that Word, well, He wants us as His mystical body to once again be the full expression of the Word. And you know, we waste so much energy and so much time. We look around, well, it doesn't seem like anything's going on, and it seems like there ought to be some big meetings here or there. Seems like that's the only, you know, that's how we're going to know the bride's in revival, because we're going over to this big meeting and there's big brother so-and-so preaching and this, that, and the other. Our God is so much bigger than our carnal thoughts. He's doing all of this underneath our very nose. He's doing it in every local body all over the world. And he's doing exactly what he knows needs to be done. And he doesn't have to explain it to us. He doesn't have to tell us what he's doing in every local body. He just needs the local body to trust him and surrender to him and let him do, let his mind work through us. And the church says, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, when he says his Son, Christ the Word came out of him, right? And in word form, he created everything, right? He didn't exist as a physical son, because a son has a beginning. He wasn't a flesh man. He was in that pillar of fire, the living Word, right? But then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? Hallelujah. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That word, that phrase there, expressed image, in the Greek, the Greek word for it is character. Isn't that something? The expressed image, the character of his person, well, your character is what you are. The character of his person, the instrument used for engraving or carving, the mark that stamped upon that instrument or wrought out on it, hence a mark or a figure burned or stamped on, an impression, the exact expression, the image, of any person or thing, a marked likeness, a precise reproduction in every respect. I like this last part. A facsimile. Do you know where the word fax came from? I'm going to send you a fax. Anybody ever wondered where that word came from? It's a shortened version of facsimile, right? You put something, a document into this machine. This machine takes it and reads it and then sends it off over the electromagnetic waves, and then it comes into another machine, and that electromagnetic wave now is translated back into what it was sent from, right? And what you end up with is a facsimile of what was sent. What you end up with is a reproduction of what was sent to you, right? So God sends his word from heaven, right? Sends it, anoints it, sends it by his word, and then it, when it comes into you, then it reproduces what it was in heaven in you. A son or daughter of God is a portion of facsimile of Christ living here on the earth. Because each one of us, we have an attribute. We're not the fullness of the Godhead. He contained all of the attributes of God. Whatever God was in him, right? There's a portion of his attributes that are being revealed through you, right? And it's the facsimile of it is a portion of him. It's the expressed image. It's a portion of the image of Christ being manifested in you. You put the whole body together, and the whole picture is Christ. What you see is what was in heaven on the earth. Amen. And the church says. So whatever he is in character, in behavior, in attitude towards the word, we are to be also. Jesus was the precise reproduction of God in every respect here on the earth to make God tangible. Because you can't see God. Right? No man has seen God at any time. Neither will they. Right? Because he's a spirit. You can't see a spirit. He inhabits all space and time. He's eternal. But God wanted to become tangible. So he poured himself out into another form. And then became tangible. John says we beheld him. We touched him. The Lord of glory. We beheld him. We handled the word of God in flesh. So he was the reproduction of God in every respect here on the earth, making God tangible. And that is actually no different from your calling tonight. And that's what I want to, that's what you need to, that's the thought that really needs to penetrate you tonight. The difference is that you are the expression of a portion of him, whereas he expresses the fullness of God. And that portion that's in you to be expressed will be expressed. Amen. Nothing's going to stop it. Amen. There'll be parts of you that is not part of that expression. And that's what the devil will want to point to. Amen. But the part of you that came from God is that expression. Amen. So let's look at what his purpose was while he was here on the earth. Hebrews chapter 2, Paul, the master teacher, breaking this down for us, he said, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory." I'm glad he said many. If he'd have said some, then the devil would just chisel away at me. Well, how do you know that you're one of those? He has a lot of sons. To bring many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth, that's Christ, and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. They're all of one. Well, that means they all came from the same source. That means they're related. That means they all came from God. How can you be a son of God and not come from God? Come on, friends. Oh, I know that it just sounds too fantastic. But it's the truth. If you came from God, you're a part of God. There's a big part of you that isn't a part of God. And you'll leave that behind. But there's the part of you that came from God. And that part of you believes the word. And that part of you will come to an adoption. That part of you will have the preeminence. That part of you will come to maturity. That part of you will manifest in this last age what God was thinking before there ever was an age. Before he ever created anything, he had these thoughts, and you are one of those thoughts. And you will manifest what you were sent here to manifest. Hallelujah. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Well, the only way you can be a brother is to be related. We see that he was called to glorify the Father upon the earth. Remember, we took a little series on that. Father, glorify thy name. I have glorified your name. And God answered and said, "Yeah, you've glorified my name, and my name will be glorified again. It was glorified in bridegroom form, but it'll be glorified again in bride form, in his church." Paul tells us that Jesus also brought many sons into glorification. So you are called to glorify God on the earth. And it won't be you that's doing it, it's him, it's Christ in you. The hope of glory. You can only do that by becoming the living word. Now the word's already in you. When you came to this earth, a portion of that word was already in you. That's why you're not out there running around with the world. That's why you can't be satisfied with... That's why you're an oddball. Amen. There's something in you. Amen. that's thirsting for God. There's something in you that's desiring to be manifested. Well, that's the part of you that came from God. So you can only become the manifested Word by being quickened by Him. And the Word imprinted, the Word of God imprinted in your mind, in your being, in your attitudes, in your nature, will bring glory to Him. Will bring a manifestation of His Word here on the earth. Your attitude towards the lost will be the same as His. Friends, this is why this seems so impossible. Let me just cut to the chase. This is why it seems so impossible to the church. And this is why we've had people, I'm speaking as your pastor here tonight. This is why we've had people over the last 30 years leave after a period of time because they say that's just impossible. That's just crazy. He's going too far with this. He's saying that there's deity in flesh. He's saying that we can live without sin. He's saying that we can become the manifestation of what God said. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. But only by being born again. And if you aren't born again, that's why you have those thoughts. Because if you aren't born again, you know you're a failure. You know that your best efforts are not good enough. Only God can do it. So you must be born again by His Spirit, and He'll do it. So all of your bragging and all of your attention is on Him. All your confidence is in Him because He's going to do this. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Why do we make the devil so much bigger than God? God, friends, His Word is working mightily tonight. Don't look off into the future for His Word to work mightily. It is. How did we get where we're at tonight? Because His Word has been, is, and continues to work mightily. And the church says, you say you're deluded. Well, don't wake me up. I'm happy. I believe this. I know it's the Word of God. And all my confidence is in Him. And as I said, as we sang that last song, I can't take it back. I'm in His hands. I can't take it back. Right? I'm completely committed to whatever He's going to do. Hallelujah. So He comes down with His Spirit to imprint an impression on your life. You've been faxed from heaven. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Well, isn't that what Jesus taught him how to pray? He said, pray like this. Let what is in heaven be done here on the earth. Right? Fax it, Lord. Let me become the fax. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will is His Word. And it will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Be it unto me according to Thy Word. Fax it down, Lord. I'm just the machine here tonight. Fax it down. Whatever you're faxing down, it'll do what you sent it to do. It doesn't need my help. In fact, the best help I can give it is to get out of the way. Let go and let God. But He's not going to force it on me. I have to surrender. Right? And if you're a son or daughter of God, you will.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom He did foreknow. What does it mean to foreknow? It means He knew you before time. So, those that He foreknew.
Amen.
Right? He also did predestinate.
Amen.
What does predestinate mean? It means He predetermined your destination.
Amen.
Predestinate.
Amen.
He set your destiny.
Yes.
Amen.
Those that He foreknew, He set their destiny.
Right.
And He set their destiny to be conformed to the image of His Son. So you will be a fax of His Son. A facsimile. Conformed to the image of His Son. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Friends, if you're a son of God tonight, you are just as much a son of God as He was. Oh, I know that sounds flat. I know that sounds, that's too fantastic. What does it mean to be a son? You either are or you aren't. Certainly He has a different position than you and I. Certainly we know that there are different levels to that. But a son is a son. And He doesn't have any halfway children. And He won't lose any of them. All that You've given Me, Father, will come. I won't lose a single one. For whom He did foreknow, He also did set Your destiny to be conformed, not I hope, maybe. Maybe if I throw enough out there that some of them will. It's not by us, not by might, not by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord. To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did, past tense, predestinate, those that He set their destiny. Notice He didn't predestinate everyone. Whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Well, wait a minute. I wasn't even born yet. God did all of this in His mind before the foundation of the world. What's happening in time, and it's folding, unfolding in time. But I did respond to the call. He called. I answered. You say, I sought God. You never did. He was drawing you to Him. But He was drawing you to Him. And you responded. And you heard from your Father. And when you were born again of the Spirit, you cried, Father, Father. In other words, I know who You are. I came from You. I'm going back to You. I was in You. Hallelujah. I was chosen in You, as Paul said. Them whom He did predestinate or set their destiny, them He also called. So everyone that He set their destiny, He'll call them sometime in their journey of life. And whom He called, them He also justified.
Hallelujah.
Right? So justification, just as if I never did it in His mind, in His thinking. He paid the price for your sin. You accepted that. It's wiped away. And whom He justified, notice this, them He also glorified. Well, wait a minute. When the body change takes place, that's my glorification. But it says, He also glorified, past tense. It's a done deal. There's no way it can't happen. This is His unfolding plan, and it will happen. Exactly like He said that it would happen. Hallelujah. So you need to recognize that there's a part of you that was once in Him, and then He sent you here to the earth. You didn't decide to come to the earth. You were in His thinking. You were a thought that became a word. Because that thought then, you were in Christ Jesus. You were in the Word.
Amen.
She's flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, word of His word.
Amen.
She came out of Him. Just as Eve came out of Adam, Christ's bride came out of Christ, you were in Him. You were in that Logos. Hallelujah. And you were sent to the earth, but you were lost. When we use that word, most of the time we'll think lost in sin or whatever, but it's a whole lot more than that. You were lost to yourself. You had no idea who you were. You had no idea why you were here. Some of us had no idea, you know, what race we were, or if we were a mixed up race or whatever. Do a little genealogy study to try to figure that out. Okay, Grandpa was half Cherokee and Grandma was Irish. Oh, wait a minute. On Dad's side, there was Ashkenazi Jew. And oh, and then great grandma, she was, you know, the European part of Jew or whatever. And then you discover, oh, and then there's some Scandinavian or this or that. You didn't know any of that. And if you weren't living in this last age, you still wouldn't know. Right? Right? Right. You don't know where you don't know how you got here. You don't know why God mixed this one with that one and had a Smith marry a Jones and whatever it was. And then you ended up here on the earth. But none of it was an accident. God watched over that seed. Even in the natural. He watched over that seed. And when there was a union that took place between your mother and your father, you weren't the only one that had the potential of coming forward. There were a million other possibilities, but you came forth. One in a million. Oh, and we don't believe in the supernatural. You already survived one in a million once. Hallelujah. You were lost to yourself when you came here to the earth. I was never of this world, but I didn't know that I was never of this world. I just knew I didn't fit. I didn't know where I came from. Satan had me half convinced that I was his child. But one day, my Maker called for me. And this is true for every son and daughter of God, without exception. One day, my Maker called for me and let me know that he set my destiny before I ever arrived here. That I'm not an accident. I'm not a mistake. He watched over my mom and dad, my grandpa and grandma. He watched over all of that. So that I would come forward in this season. So it doesn't matter what presents itself before me, Sister Emma. My destiny is already set. Can you say that tonight? Say it. My destiny is already set. That's right. So it doesn't matter what comes your way. Your destiny has already been set. And you didn't set it. You say, oh, it was my choice. It was his choice. You were chosen in him to be this, to be that, to be this. He's your Maker. And he set your destiny. And God don't make junk. Our problem is we want to understand everything and know everything. He already thought it out. What do you need to know it all for? Come on, friends. We need to trust him. We need to believe him. We need to take him at his word. He told us, I was chosen in him before the foundation of the world to be this, to be that, to be this. He chose. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world to be this, to be that, to be this. I'm just coming to that realization. Right? And I'm just surrendering. Saying, God, I believe you. I accept that. So I was lost to myself. But one day my Maker called me up. One day my Maker called for me and he let me know that he set my destiny before I arrived here. And it doesn't matter what presents itself before me, my destiny is determined. Whether I struggle with that or whether I don't struggle with it, my destiny is already set. In other words, I can't even change my destiny. Can you say that tonight? Oh, you see where the rest comes? All this worry, oh, I hope I don't get kicked out of church. I hope I don't get separated from my family. I hope this, I hope that. He'll never lose you. He has set your destiny. I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To have an expected end. He's thought it all out. He's not trying to figure it out. And it's not left up to you to either mess it up or not mess it up. He's worked it all out. Thing is, we come to this realization little by little by little. When he was first drawing us to him, we truly believed that we were seeking him. And we sincerely surrendered, and we were just glad to, okay, I'm not going to hell. I'm so thankful for that. I didn't want to go to hell. I was laboring against sin, but now I found out I'm not going to go to hell, and I accept that. But when he took you further and you were birthed by his Spirit, then he began to reveal to you, I'm your father. Now, what is a father? A father is where you came from. If he's your father, you came from him. That means you've got attributes that came from him. It means you're created in his image. It means you are the facsimile here on the earth of what was in his thinking. And the church says, ah. Hallelujah. So he set my destiny before I ever arrived here on the earth. And so no matter what comes my way, Sister Becky, I can't even mess it up. Why do I worry about that? Oh God, I hope I don't. I don't want to disappoint him. I can disappoint him. I don't want to do that, right? But I can't mess up his plan. He didn't leave it to chance. If he left it to chance, then we must, oh, friends, we better quit. Because who's going to make it? The brightest, the fastest runner, the smartest, the brother revelated. Who's going to make it? Those who he set their destiny. So God is not going to change his mind about me. Say that. You. Yes. Say it louder. Like you believe it. That's right. Amen. I believe. How about you? Can you say that, sister? That's right. He's not in the process of making up his mind, is he? Can you say that, brother? He's not. Brother Doug? Never. Never. Right? Sister? Can you say that? Can you say that tonight? Yes. Why don't we just all say it at once? Save us a little time. I want you to say it. I want you to say it. You say, but I don't know. His word declares it. He's made up his mind. He set your destiny. He predestinated you. And those that he predestinated, he called. Those that he called, he justified. Those that he justified, he glorified. And so Paul came along and he said, so what do you have to say about it? What say you? If God be for us, who can be against us? I almost feel sorry for the devil. Almost. So God won't change his mind about me. So he has to work on my behalf through the power of the word to mold me and to shape me. That's his tool of choice. It always has been and it always will be. Everything that he makes is by the word. And his word will change me. His word is changing me. I'm waiting for a final change, but he's changing me bit by bit along the way. Molding me, shaping me. And making me into what he decided that I should be. You see the difference there? Oh, I want to be this. I want to be that. And if I can't be this or that, then I quit. He already determined what you're going to be. And you will want to be that. Hallelujah. So I have a part in me that I am predestinated to fulfill. Being conformed to the image. And for that to happen, it requires a transformation to take place in me. You see, a reformation won't work. We had a Luther and a Wesley and so on, and there was a reforming, you know. Well, you know, we're getting back to the word, we're getting back to a portion or this or that. But a reformation will not work. A transformation is what's required. Amen. Right? You can't. It's not a better version of you than fulfilling God's word. It's you being transformed, so it's no longer you, but it's Christ in you.
Amen.
The hope of glory. So he sent his word to cause me to have the same form as the first Son of God. And my part is to surrender to that word. And if I came from him, I will surrender to that word. God has sons. God has daughters. How many believe that? So what would seem more challenging to you tonight? To speak the word and by the spoken word create the universe from nothing, or to speak the word and start with something that's already there and then speak the word and mold it into the image of his son? Which would be harder? I don't know about you, but speaking the universe into existence out of nothing seems pretty hard to me. But to speak his word concerning just one of us and us coming forth in that image, that don't seem so hard. Right? I mean, what am I compared to a black hole or a universe, a galaxy? Right? Which is the greater miracle to the natural mind? Paul tells us you were chosen to be a copy of a portion of him, to be an expression of him in the hour that you're living. And he marked you out to be an exact copy of the same portion of Christ manifesting his word once again in human flesh. Friends, remember, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. Who's going to stop him? We see how effective the devil can anoint people. How much more can God then? All right, I got to pull over here in a minute. Spoken words, original seed, wonderful message. He says, his kind. What is his kind? The word. He is the word. Then if a man denies God's word, how can he be in God's image? Just ask the question. Ask yourself, how can he be in God's image and deny God's word? When the word's expressed image of himself. So he is the expressed image of the word. Oh, he says, well, it don't mean that. Expressed image of God. Saying, oh, I said it, but I didn't really mean it. I was wrong there. I back up. That was for some other time. I didn't mean it. He says, oh, mercy. Trash. Slop of the devil that was fed to Eve. Don't let him try to poke it down the elected's neck, though. No, sir. They won't believe that. Just come and join with our gang. Join nothing. You got to be born. Not join. You got to be a new creature. I didn't join anything. By one Spirit, he baptized each one into one body. There's one Spirit, one body, one calling, one Father, one God. Just come and join with our gang. Join nothing. You got to be born, not join, a new creature. Yes, in his own image of his kind to be. To be his expressed word on the earth. Friends, if you're a portion of him, you got to be the same. You got to be the same species. Every seed will bring forth of its own kind. He says, now Jesus was God's expressed word. Do you believe that? Then what are we to be? Sons of God too, with the expressed word in the church, carrying on, that's the mystical body of Christ, carrying on the same works that Jesus did when he was here on the earth. That's the kind after his kind. Now, you can have the Lutheran kind after the Lutheran, the Methodist kind after the Methodist, the Catholic kind after the Catholic, the Pentecostal kind after its kind, the oneness after its, the Trinity after its. But if you're God's kind, that's different. See, you're the expressed image of the Word making itself manifested. See, I didn't make any of this up. That's exactly what he said, right? Oh my, why? It's got to. It's got to. If the water falls on it, it's got to do it. If the Spirit ever comes in contact with that seed, that seed will bring forth after its own kind. Whatever you're going to be as a son or daughter of God is already in you, waiting to be manifested, waiting to be quickened. God's not going to come along and stick a needle in you and inject this and inject that and hope for this and hope for that. He's already determined it. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You see, God wants His Word to be living here on the earth. So forget just for a moment that we're trying to get you to see who you are. That's really what we're trying to do. If it's God's purpose for His Word, His character, His nature, His being, now expressed here on the earth, how would God do that? So forget for a moment, I'm trying to get you to see who you are. How would God do it? God wants His Word to be manifested. He wants it to be in flesh. He wants it to be expressed. He wants it to show forth His image, His nature, His character. How would He do that? Do we agree that that is His purpose? Because the Bible says it is. Right? Most people who claim to be Christians can accept that Jesus was the expressed image of the Father in human flesh. He said Himself, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Right? Of course, many who profess Christianity today would not have recognized the expressed image in flesh 2,000 years ago had they lived back then, because the flesh would have stumbled them. Just as it stumbled so many that were living in that day at the time. So you can see that by their attitude towards the Word today. You say, I would have accepted the Word made flesh back then. Well, the proof of that is whether you accept it today. Right? They have an image formed in their minds of the invisible God being made manifest that doesn't match the one that the Word produces. And the Word produces the same image every time. Remember, Jesus was the very Word made manifest. And they called Him a devil. Now, how could they do that? He was exactly who Isaiah said He was. Jeremiah, all the prophets that prophesied. He was exactly who He was supposed to be. So that is how they can deny the living Word, because the expressed image lived out in human flesh before them doesn't match their mental image. Because they're worshiping the God of their imagination. Their confidence is in the God of their imagination. They created their own God in their own thinking. They serve up a made-up God, a science fiction God, and there's no eternal life in that God. Right? But we serve the living God. And we're not imagining Him. We're seeing what His Word has declared that He is. And then we're watching Him manifest it. Proving Himself to us. Come on, friends. We of all people, we're without excuse. He has proven it. Again, in identification, He says, if you were in that day, what group would you be identified with? With the prophet, with the vindicated Word, although they were in the minority? Or would you be with the popular opinion folks? Well, I tell you, I believe that man is crazy. And the only way that you'd ever know that he wasn't crazy is for the same God to reveal to you the same thing that He revealed to Moses. And the only way that we'll ever be able to be the images of God and the sons of God is for God to reveal to us and express Himself through His Word to us and us to the world. That's the only channel. So the only way you're going to... The only way for us to be the images of God is for Him to express Himself through the Word to us, in us, and to the world. That's the only channel, He says. For Christ was the image here on the earth that you could see, speaking about the man Jesus, God in a man, expressed image of God, because God was in him so much that they were one. And now when Christ left, He sanctified the church. And the church might take his place and express the word of God. See? That's the only way that it could be done. Now, did he make himself any of that? That's who he was. That's who he was born to be. It wasn't his choice. The choice was made before he got here. Sure, you'll still make a choice, but you'll make the choice because of who you are. So what we do today, our attitude towards the living word today identifies what, who and what we would have been in the ages gone by. So, in other words, let me put it to you like this. If I was living in Elijah's day, I would have been one of the 7,000 that didn't bow their knees to Baal. You say, how do you know that? Because I'm a believer today. I would have been a believer then. If I would have been living in the days of Jesus, we would have had him in our home. We would have been supping with him. We would have worshipped him. So the same God reveals to us what was revealed to our prophet, but God doesn't do it without, except he first reveals it to his prophet. But once it's revealed, it's revealed. Right? God expresses himself to us and through us to the world. And the church has been sanctified to continue the expression of Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, paragraph 154, same message, identification. He says, would you be with the popular folks who had a popular opinion? As long as I belong to the church, and maybe, well, because I danced in the spirit, I'm all right. And maybe because I spoke with tongues, I'm all right. Or maybe we got a good pastor and I'm all right. Now, those things are loyal. I have nothing to say against that. That's true. But this plan of salvation is an individual affair with you. Speaking in tongues is a gift of God. Dancing in the spirit is the presence and the glory of God. But for you to let your character be molded into the image of God, that he projects himself and you are his idol walking on the earth, the expressed image of him. Now, would you be willing to do that in the days of Noah? Or would you have been on the critical side, criticizing both the prophet and his God-sent message? Now think of it. Which side would you think in your present state now? Which side would you have took? Now be honest, he says. I think that's a good thing, right? Again, the message, Shalom. He says, Jesus, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. See, in other words, God was identified. The person of God was identified in the body, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was the expressed image of God, or God expressing himself through an image. See, through an image, man. God expressed himself to us. He was God. Not a third person or second person. He was the person. God, he was. 1 Timothy 3:16. Timothy says, without controversy, that's argument, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested or made known in the flesh. Isn't that wonderful? God. And we could never understand God as he moved through a pillar of fire and so forth, as he did. But we understood him when he became one of us, see? When he became a man. Then he could talk to us and we could feel him and handle him and touch him and everything. As the scripture plainly says, we handled God, see, with our hands. John, that was in 1 John, touched him with our hands. God is in man. And he's identifying himself today in his church. In the born-again Christian, God identifies himself that he remains God, and the outside world will only know God as they see God in you and I. Think about that, friends. That's the only way that they'll know God, is when we are written epistles, epistle of the scripture, and we are read of all men. In other words, we are the word that's made manifest. And the life that we live reflects what's on the inside of us. A man is identified by the works that he does. So our work should be good. See, always good, because we are representing our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing that is, especially an old man like me stand here and think of the life that is fading away, that's gone in the past, and we're facing a future of eternity, and knowing if this life only is what I had hopes in, I would be the most miserable person this morning. But knowing that this life is only a shadow of what's to come, it's a reflection, because it cannot be the perfect thing that God made. God doesn't make anything that perishes, see? God is eternal, and therefore this life that we now live in is only reflecting what's ahead of us. The real one that cannot die, the body that cannot perish, the life that cannot be taken, see? And therefore the scriptures is right when it says that we have everlasting life, we have eternal life. We shall never die. When you're born again, you become a part of God. You actually were a part of God, but you're quickened. Amen. You're a living part of God in flesh. See, you are forever, for eternity, never to fail. You are a part of God because you're His Son.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
One more. We would see Jesus. He says, the Greek said we would see Jesus. Not so much as we would hear from Him, but we would just love to see Him. I just wonder if that wouldn't be the feeling tonight of every person here, to see Jesus. How could we see Him in His church, in His people? We are written epistles. The Spirit of Christ lives in His people and produces His life. And His ministry continues to go on until He comes again. He said, the works that I do shall you do also. For I'll be with you, even in you. His ministry continues to go on until He comes again. And He is here. It's the blindness of our eyes, the reason that we don't see Him. If we could just open our eyes to the things that are real. I want to reflect His nature. How many could say amen to that?
Amen.
I want people to see the very nature of God.
Amen.
So, having said that now, I recognize that God doesn't have people problems. Well, I hate this one. I'm bothered. I got to go straighten this one out. This, that, and the other. That's somebody trying to be a Christian. Right?
Right.
A Christian isn't going to have people problems. Come on, friends.
Right.
Oh, me or amen, one or the other. It's true. A Christian doesn't hold grudges because Christ doesn't hold grudges. A Christian doesn't constantly battle with others. Doesn't tattle. Doesn't gossip. Amen. The nature in him is to forgive. The nature in him, as we heard on Sunday night, is to intercede. The nature in him is to live for others. The nature in him is to love. The nature in him is to forgive. The nature in him is to seek and to save that which is lost. The nature, no matter what it takes, that is the nature of Christ. So if Christ is in you, that's what will be produced. The nature in him is to let his feelings take a back seat to the will of God. Well, here's what I want, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Let me read this last scripture, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, John says, now are we the sons of God. He's 90 years old when he wrote this. He's been on the island of Patmos. He's wrote the book of Revelations. He's been boiled in oil for 24 hours, and they couldn't boil the Holy Ghost out of him. They called him a witch. Now he's been freed from the island of Patmos, and he's the pastor of the church in Ephesus. He's 90 years old, and he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And then we'll see ourselves as we are. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You will set yourself aside from the world. You will do that because you have this hope that's in you. You can do whatever you want, but you don't want to do those things. We are now sons, but we're a work in progress, right? God's desire is to live out His living word through you in front of this last generation of the Gentile age. For God to prove to this world, not only that he's a real, but he has children. And to prove the power of this blood. To prove his perfect work. So that means allowing the word to take a higher position in our life than our feelings. Amen. Than our feelings. Amen. Than our desires. Than our own thoughts. Than our own attitudes. And it's a life that's constantly battling to cast down everything that exalts itself above the Word of God, which is the thoughts that come in our mind. And the living Word gives us the power to walk in His will for our lives and to overcome whatever is put before us. And as I said, it's a process. Right? But I want this to resonate tonight. Our destiny is already set. Amen. Tell the devil that tonight. The devil says, you'll never make it. Well, that's not what he said. God's already set my destiny. God don't love you. Well, that's not what he said. God's going to lose you. That's not what he said. You'll probably never make it. That's not what he said. Think about this, Brother Verlin. A new robe already exists to clothe your soul in. Right? Everybody doesn't have a theophany. Right? You have one. If your soul has been born again by His Spirit, there is a theophany waiting. There's a body waiting for you. The sinner doesn't go into a new body. That sinless body. But your soul goes into a sinless body. A body like His. So it already exists. You know, it's too late for the devil to... The devil, it's too late. Right? The word's out. He's in a panic.
Hallelujah.
These things weren't made known like they are now until this last day, when it was foretold that the mystery of God would be finished as He hath declared to His servants the prophets. It's too late. It's too late for the devil to mess anything up. It's too late for him to try to change anything. The work's already been done. We're just the last ones to come into the fullness of what God has declared. But Satan can't stop it. Do you know that tonight? Do you know that tonight?
Yes.
Oh, but I'm so weak this way or weak that way. Satan can't stop it. You can't stop it. That word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish what he sent it to do.
Amen.
And you are a portion of that word being made manifest in this hour. You will come forth, sons and daughters of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. So knowing that tonight, friends, as we close, knowing that, I want to be willing to pay the price. I want to be willing to pay the price every step of the way so that the world can see the living Word living through me. So that God's Word can be declared on this earth as it is in heaven. As a witness. My glorification is for Him to be glorified in me. For Him to have the preeminence in a body. For Him to have complete control in this many-membered mystical body here at the end time. That's His desire. How many believes that His will be done? As we preached on this several 6 months ago or so on Wednesdays, He prayed. This was Jesus' prayer, right? Glorify them with the glory that I had with you. Glorify them. How many believe His prayer will be answered? Let's stand. I know I kept you a few extra minutes, but it won't hurt you. You're not going to read this in a comic book. You're not going to read it in an encyclopedia. You're not going to hear it at a University of Arizona demonstration. Right? You're only going to hear these things from the Word of God. Right? But God wrote that Word not to leave it on a page. He wrote it so that it can be expressed. Right? And it will be expressed. How many believes that? It will. It will be. It is. It is being expressed. All is well. All is well. Somebody say praise the Lord. The hard part for us, after we give our hearts to the Lord, the hard part for us is that complete surrender. The hard part is getting to that place, God, I'm in your hands. I want you to fulfill your word in my life. Help me to get to the place, God, where I can just be neutral. So that if the natural things that I think I want so bad don't happen in my life, so be it. Regardless. I'm not coming with any conditions. This isn't let's make a deal. Okay, God, if you'll do this, then I'll do that. And I'm willing to go this far or that far. No, you have to be willing to say, you know what? I'm a clean slate.
Amen.
Make me what you've already decided that I am. Be it unto me. Make me into that. And that's how every son and daughter of God is born of the Spirit. Right? Salvation is a separate thing. We thank God for that. But we're talking about Him becoming not just your Savior, but your Lord. We're talking about, and this is the only way. This is the only way that His Word can come into manifestation, is for His Spirit then to come and quicken that Word and bring it to pass. Right? But He won't force that on anybody. You say, oh, but you just said that there's nothing that's going to stop Him. I did say that. But He always, He's a gentleman. He's not going to force it on any of us. Right? And you can't serve two masters at one time. So if there's a part of you that says, well, if I can't be this and I can't be that, then I don't want to be anything, you're not fit. You're not ready. Oh, I know that sounds hard, but I want to be honest with you tonight. Right? I had to come to that place. I had to come to the place where I said, God, I was in college at the time. I had to come to the place where I said, God, if that means that I'm supposed to drop, you want me to drop out of school and I'll just be a fry cook the rest of my life or mechanic or whatever. I mean, nothing wrong with those things, but I had some aspirations. I'd put in a lot of energy. I was in my third year of college, getting close to graduating. Opportunity to have a little breathing room with the family. So I had aspirations. But I had to say, God, if this isn't your will for my life, so be it. I had to be able, willing and able, tested and proved to say, God, if my wife doesn't follow me, I'm still going to go. Amen. And the devil about had me half convinced that my wife was going to leave because, you know, this is just crazy, right? But I had to trust him. Put it into his hands and say, God, I'm just going to... The devil's a liar, right? So you are trying to make the choice. You are trying to make the decision. Am I going to completely surrender or not? Right? And the devil is right there to tell you, well, you know, you do that and you're going to be one of those guys that never has any fun. And, you know, you're just going to... As Brother Eli pointed out, you're going to be a monk up there in Tibet somewhere, you know, you're going to wear a brown outfit that was made out of potato sacks and dyed brown. They're going to put a bowl over your head. Actually, that wouldn't work. You don't cut around the bowl. What do you do? You put a bowl with a hole in it over your head. I don't know. I don't know how they did that, but you're going to have... I mean, what a funky hairdo. Who decided that? What were they thinking? I think I'd rather have a mohawk than one of those hairdos. Yeah, wear sandals and freeze to death up on a mountain, nobody to talk to. That's what God wants for you, you know. That's what the devil will tell you. How many can say tonight, the devil's a liar? God doesn't want to take any good thing away from you. What he wants to take from you is your sin. Right? And what he'd like to take from you is your steering wheel. But he's not going to force you. Right?
Hallelujah.
Don't wait until you're going off the cliff to say, okay, God, you can have the steering wheel. The car's off the road. Right? Well, he'll still take it, friends, but don't wait that long. You don't need to. Let him be in control. It's the most exciting life that there is. You say, but what about all the suffering that you're talking about? You're going to suffer whether or not you serve God. Right? But you're going to get benefits if you serve him. And the suffering of this life is only going to produce greater things in you. It's going to bring Christ out in your life. You'll be better for it. You'll be stronger for it. You'll be more Christ-like. It'll bring Christ out in your life. How many can say amen to that? It's him doing the work in you and I. It's us saying, yes, Lord, I surrender. What am I trying to say, young people? What I'm trying to say is, you're in your little mind, excuse me, I'm not trying to make you little, but your mind is little, just as my mind is little. My mind was little, and in my mind, the devil had me imagining this or that. In your little mind, the devil's trying to paint you a picture, but it's not coming from the Word of God. None of it comes from the Word of God. The best life that you'll ever live is the one that you've surrendered to him. But he won't take it from you. So you have to completely surrender. So it has to, it's not some, well, I came up for prayer once. Okay. I did the same thing. I came up for prayer 20 times. But I finally got to the place where I said, okay, God, I take you at your word. You said, if I just surrender, give myself to you. You said, you promised, if I repented and I'm baptized, you promised you'd give me the gift of the Holy Ghost. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it. All I know is I can't do it. And I'm trusting in you. And then he came. But that was after struggling for a while. Because what I was doing was saying, okay, what else do I got to do? What you got to do is believe. Right? And completely surrender. You do that, and he'll fill you. He promised it. What I'm trying to tell you is that the church world lied to you when they made it like you just chose, okay, I'll have a scoop of ice cream, and there it is. There has to be a death. Right? You have to die. Because you can't, the old you and him can't exist at the same time. The life in you will be him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So if that desire is on the inside of you, and that's what you want, don't stop for anything. As Brother Eli just really brought so well on Sunday night, nothing to add to that at all. Don't settle for anything less than that, and it'll happen. It'll take place. Don't reason with it. Don't try and figure it out. Well, I had this little experience. Was that it? Thing is, when it happens, you'll just know. You'll just know. Jesus Christ will be real to you personally. You will know that. You'll know that you're in his hands and that you can't ever take back the steering wheel because you're in his hands. So let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we stand before your people tonight, Lord, I know that this is something that the devil battles harder than anything, and really in this last age. And I certainly don't blame him. If he can keep us from that life, he's done his work. But you promised, Lord. You promised, and we still have to hear it. It has to be preached. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So we have to hear it. It must be preached. It must be living word. But then, Lord, we've got to accept it, receive it into our hearts. And then we've got a choice to make. We have a decision to make. Do I want to be completely his? Or do I want to bring him along to kind of help me to live a better life and to maybe fulfill the purposes that I've already decided that I want, all the plans that I've already made, all the things that I want to happen? I want him to follow me along like a genie in the bottle and just make my life a better life. Or do I want to just completely surrender to him and say, I don't know what your plan is for me, but I want to be what you want me to be. I want to surrender to you. I want you to make me what you've set my destiny to be. I surrender to you. Not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I surrender. Father, we know that you'll not turn away anyone that comes to you with an approach. Because you want to fill us. That's the fact of the matter. You want to fill us many times more than we want to be filled. We were told, given an example, that take a pipe of a certain diameter. I don't remember, it might even have been a number of feet that was declared. It doesn't matter, but imagine a pipe that's a certain diameter and it's the universe long. Well, we can't imagine the universe long, but let's just imagine that for a moment and then fill it with water. The pressure at the bottom, if that pipe would be to be stood up, the pressure at the bottom of that pipe, of the water that wants to get out of that pipe, still wouldn't compare with how much you want to fill. You created man to dwell in him. You created man to be your tabernacle, to walk with them, to commune with them. You know, Adam fell before the first Adam became the manifestation of it, but the second Adam or the last Adam came along and showed us who the first Adam was supposed to be and every other son and daughter of God after. That was your plan. That was your desire. So if it was your plan and was your desire, then it's still your plan. It's still your desire. And nothing's going to stop it. But Lord, we know that you made it so that it will be fulfilled by a second birth, by the penalty of sin being dismissed, being dealt with, being paid, and the sin question being settled, which prevented that, it caused a gulf to exist between God and his children. But Lord, you crossed that gulf. You banished that gulf. You paid the price yourself so that man and God could be reunited once again. And Lord, we are those living in this last age. We are the very fulfillment of what you've set about to do. Father, I pray from the bottom of my heart, as sincerely as I know how, Lord, for each and every one that's hungering and thirsting for that life. You said, blessed are they that hunger, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they that thirst. You said, which one of us being fathers, speaking of us in the natural, being evil, we know how to give good gifts unto our children. You said, which one of us would give, if our child wanted bread, we'd give him a rock or give him a snake or something else. You said, how much more is the Heavenly Father able to give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? We have to believe that, and we have to trust you to do it. I know in my own life, Lord, that I struggled for months and months not realizing that I was actually doubting that somehow that you were going to do that for me. And the proof that I was doubting it is that I kept asking, well, what more do I need to do? Or why isn't it happening? Am I missing something? Well, your word already declared what the requirements were. I'd already met those requirements. What was required was for me to believe. And Lord, you revealed that to me, and it was just settled. It settled down into my heart. And I thought, Lord, I got to the place, okay, Lord, you might do it tonight, you might do it tomorrow, you might do it 20 years from now. I doubt it'll be that long, but I'm taking you at your word. I believe that you're going to do it. There's no way that I'm going to miss the rapture. There's no way that I'm going to be cast aside. You gave me that promise, and I believe it. Just settled down into my heart. And that evening, you fulfilled your promise. And it was so simple. Father, I know that you're still fulfilling your word. The promise was given. The promise is still extended. The promise is still being fulfilled. And Lord, I know that if there's a desire, I know, Lord, that if a person were to say, God, without you, I don't want to live. Without you, I'll perish. Not that I'm going to take my own life, but I don't want to press ahead with whatever plans I have in my life. But I want to put myself in your hands and say, God, you promised. I want to take you at your word. If I'm struggling to believe, help my unbelief. I just want to be as honest as I possibly can. I can't make myself believe. So if there's any unbelief, help my unbelief, Lord. But I want to take you at your word. Completely surrender to you. And Lord, I want you to fulfill your promise in my life. And if it's a promise, you're going to fulfill it. But it's always based on whether I take you at your word or not. I take you at your word, Lord. If there's any struggle in that, help me, Lord. Help me to believe. Just as it is, if I was seeking healing tonight, there's no way that I would receive the healing that you promised, except I believe it. And believe it by faith. It has to be in my heart. It has to be a done deal. It has to be, okay, Lord, you just showed me that you're going to heal me. I accept that. I don't have to have a physical sensation or anything. My faith tells me you are my healer. And then the healing will take place. It has to take place. It's the faith that drops in first. And then your word does what you sent it to do. So Lord, if there's any under the sound of our voice tonight, I don't know if there is or not, but if there is, Lord, I believe, Lord, that there are those that are desiring that life. I pray that they would make it known to you, Lord, not caring what anybody else would think, not caring what they even think. But, Lord, that they would mean business. Say, God, I want this. I want this promise. I want to be the manifestation of your word in this hour. I want to surrender to you. I want to give myself over to you completely. I want to take you at your word. I've repented of my sin. I've been baptized in Christian baptism. Now, Lord, I want you to give me that gift that you promised. And the way that I'm going to receive it is to take you at your word, to believe that. Help me, Lord, to take you at your word. And then, Lord, not to settle for anything less than you making yourself real to me, you fulfilling your promise. Lord, you'll let me know. There's no way that I won't know. But nobody else, it's not up to somebody else to tell me. It's up to you. It's you making yourself real personally. And then, Lord, you'll live that life. You'll do in me what I desire to do, but maybe I can't do. You'll do it. Father, you did it in my life and so many others that are here tonight. So, Lord, I pray for each and every one. I want to be faithful, Lord, to bring the full counsel, as our brother did so wonderfully on Sunday night, not holding back. You must be born again. Salvation is not the full new birth. We thank you for it, and it's necessary, and we believe that, and we accept it. But Lord, you saved us for another reason, to birth this again by your Spirit, and then to make us your tabernacle. We become a new creature in Christ Jesus. So Lord, everyone that's possibly this is on their heart, Lord, I commit them into your hands tonight, Lord. And I say, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the promise that Jesus promised would come upon the church. Receive ye the promise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as I commit them into your hands, Lord, we pray with them, we stand with them, we believe with them. But Lord, you will perform this because you promised it if we'll just take you at your word. So we want to take you at your word tonight, Lord. Say, I surrender. Now, Lord, fulfill your word. Grant it tonight, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Somebody say, praise the Lord. My heart, let me be as gold, pure gold, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be as pure.